God's people, let's turn now in the scriptures, our Bibles, to Zephaniah chapter 2. In Zephaniah chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 15. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. These are the words of God. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather, O nation, without shame. Before the decree takes effect, the day passes like the chaff. Before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out His ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon a desolation. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you so that there will be no inhabitant. And so the seacoast will be pastures with caves for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They will pasture on it. In the houses of Ashkelon they will lie down at evening. For the Lord their God will care for them and restore their fortune. I have heard the taunting of Moab and the revilings of the sons of Ammon, with which they have taunted my people and become arrogant against their territory. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab will be like Sodom and the sons of Ammon like Gomorrah, a place possessed by nettles and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The remnant of my people will plunder them, and the remainder of my nation will inherit them. This they will have in return for their pride, because they have taunted and become arrogant against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrifying to them, for He will starve. All the gods of the earth and all the coastlands of the nations will bow down to Him, everyone from his own place. You also, O Ethiopians, will be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and he will make Nineveh a desolation, parched like the wilderness. Flocks will lie down in her midst, all beasts which range in herds, both the pelican and the hedgehog will lodge in the tops of her pillars. Birds will sing in the window, desolation will be on the threshold, for he has laid bare the cedar work. This is the exultant city, which dwells securely, who says in her heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. How she has become a desolation, a resting place for beasts. Everyone who passes by her will miss and wave his hand in contempt. And that is God's word. Well, our passage begins, if you remember, the last chapter. Chapter 1 was talking about the judgments that were coming to Judah, right before the Babylonian exile, because of their sins and their idolatry, that now, in the first three verses, there is this exhortation to the Jews, the preaching to the Jews, to repent of their sins before that judgment came. And then the rest of the chapter following, until the end of the chapter, declares the judgments upon other nations who have worked towards and rejected and rejoiced in the calamity, the judgments that were coming upon God's people. The Philistines will be judged, verses 4 through 7. The Moabites and the Ammonites, verses 8 through 11. And then finally the Ethiopians and the Assyrians in verses 12 through 15. Notice that even in verse 15 they say, I am, claiming to be all in all, and there is no one besides me, acting like God. And then it judges how she has become a desolation. They have not seen. We have not seen such a desolation. But we are being warned of one here today, that we ought to repent of our sins. These nations will come under the judgment of the Lord, as has been told by many other prophets, but we are called today to repent of our sins and know that the Lord says about Christ and our enemies here in this chapter, "Vengeance is mine." If you are His enemy, He says, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay you." And so you ought to turn, and think about that, and turn to Christ alone for your salvation. Because judgment will come upon those who do not come to Christ alone for atonement of their sins. That judgment you have not known, but will know if you do not come. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again that You have given us the gospel. You've given us Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived in a perfect, righteous life and died on the cursed death for our sins, for those who believe in You. And You gave up all that we might have all, and yet rose from the dead to secure that justification for us, that righteousness that we will hear about again this evening in the book of Daniel. We're thankful for this gospel and how You are King of all kings, and that You will judge as all kings do, but You will judge perfectly, justly, with equity, in accordance with Your law, in accordance with Your righteousness, in accordance with Your holiness and power and wisdom. And Father, this judgment we have not fully known. It has not yet come. And yet we wait for it as Your people. We wait for it with expectation, though we are somewhat ignorant of what that will be, or what that will look like. You have revealed some things, and the greatness of it, and the totality and the finality of it. And yet, Father, that ought to put that fear of the Lord, that good fear of the Lord, with reverence and awe for You in our hearts. And yet, Father, we pray also for the nations. We pray that You would help them see their wickedness and their sin, that they have rebelled against the King, Jesus Christ, just as these nations talked about in our passage this morning, rebelled against You and attacked Your people. So there are many nations who are attacking Your people this very day, causing many in persecution to be put to death, and causing great suffering, and requiring of them false worship, and to put an end to their real worship of You. Father, we pray that You would judge such nations, that You would turn them from their sin and wickedness, and have them bow before Your Son. Father, we pray for those Christians who are struggling in their nations to worship You because of the nations, because of their rulers. We pray that You would uphold them and strengthen them. We think of those in South Sudan who are undergoing much persecution. And we think of those, if we have read recently, those in Iran and those in Turkey, where our friend and that missionary we support is. We pray that You would be with him and his family and protect them, and may their labors be fruitful, and the many other labors of Your church going across the world to preach and proclaim the gospel, that Your church would be grown there in the places of wickedness and great evil. And yet, Father, how great of evil there is here in our own nation. A people who generally have turned from You, turned from Your ways, are in open rebellion against You, and look much worse than the Corinthian church, as we read in that book. They are going after their own pleasures and their own wisdom, which is vanity and foolishness. We pray that You would bring the gospel to bear and that you would use us as your instruments to bring it, that they would hear and believe unto salvation. And finally, Father, we pray that you would cause us to repent of our sins, that we would not be found as those of the world, but those who love you, who are satisfied in Christ alone. We need nothing else in this world to be satisfied. And Father, we praise you that you're a God who heals, and you're healing many of our bodies and have done so. We praise you for this, and yet we praise you for the sickness that you have brought, because we know it is for our blessing and our benefit, even though we struggle to understand that fully. Father, you have brought through sickness salvation. You have brought sanctification. You've shown our sins. You've given us a love for being healthy and being away from sickness and pain. That is being with you forever. And so, Father, even now we long for that time because of the sicknesses you have brought upon us. We long even more. And we ask that you would, in this foreshadowing that we have now in the Lord's Day, in your corporate public worship, that you would have us to see the great blessing that awaits us in eternity when we will be with your Son and you forever. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.